He refers to our hearts in verse 17, to our inner beings in verse 16. He's speaking here of the experience of the Holy Spirit who takes up residence in our lives when you and I become followers of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Jesus who begins to change us from the inside out. One of the things that we've been thinking about recently is that following Jesus is about a lifestyle. It's not just about what we do when we meet together here on a Sunday. It's a kind of 24/7. It's what the frontline home group material was all about. A theme that we're going to pick up again in the autumn, but following Jesus is something that we do every day, every hour of the week. That's what Paul is praying for here, that we will experience more and more and more of the transforming power of God in our lives as we seek to follow Jesus. And he's praying for real experiences here. Look at verse 16. I'm praying, he says, that you will be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in your inner being. He's referring here to what we might describe as the quality of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. The quality of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. Let me try and explain what I think Paul is praying for here. Sometimes I get to spend a whole evening at home with my family. And I love it. When I get those kind of nights in the week, occasionally where I can be at home and I can be with my family. But sometimes the quality of my presence at home is not what it should be. You kind of get the drift of where I'm going here. I may be tired. Maybe my mind is somewhere else. I am present at home. You come and knock at my door, I will be there. You'll find me there. But the reality is that my presence at home makes very little contribution to what's going on there. I'm there, but I'm kind of there in body only. You know what I mean when I say that? You talk to June afterwards. She'll tell you all about what that experience is like. It seems to me that that's what Paul is praying for here, that the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives will be more than just present, that he would be active. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, shaping the way they think, changing the way that we live, making us more like Jesus. It's a process of cooperation. God doesn't just zap us the minute we become a follower of Jesus Christ and suddenly it becomes incredibly easy to follow Jesus and it all becomes very natural. We have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, and we need to learn to draw on what Paul describes here as the glorious riches that God gives to us. We've been thinking a lot about the grace and the mercy of God, haven't we, in recent weeks. But here's how the promise of Jesus back in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 is fulfilled. You will receive power in order that you may become my witnesses. Recognizing not just the Spirit of God is present in us, but that he wants to be active in our lives, changing the way we live and shaping the way that we think. So here's the first part of this prayer that Paul's praying for. He's praying that we would experience this transforming power of God in our lives. I can't think of a better thing to pray for on Pentecost Sunday. But here's the second thing that Paul prays for. He goes on to pray that we would experience the overwhelming love of Jesus Christ. I love this prayer. Look at the second part of verse 17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love, to experience it. That's what Paul's praying for. He's not just praying that we'll learn more up here in our heads. This is a prayer for experience. Paul's not suggesting for one minute that we will ever fully understand the love of Christ. Verse 19, to know this love that surpasses all knowledge. What he's saying here is he's saying this is an experience, my friends, that can never, ever be exhausted. It will never run out. There's always more about God's love for us to discover and his experience as we've been discovering ourselves in recent weeks as we've looked at God's grace and mercy towards us. So take a closer look at these verses with me and see what Paul is praying for in these verses. Verse 17. He's praying, second part of it, that you will be rooted and established in this love. He is praying that the love that Jesus Christ has for sinful people like you and me will grab us deep on the inside. That we will grasp something of the love that Christ has for our fallen world and for people like you and me who know we haven't got it all together. Rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. He's praying that you'll have a deeper experience of the love that God has for you. Or as Augustine puts it, love Augustine. He's got a great way of putting things. He says, that we will begin to understand that God loves each of us as if there was only one of us. Isn't that lovely? That's what Paul's praying for. That you have such an experience, such an overwhelming experience of the love of God, that you will know that God loves you as if you were the only person on this planet. Not just to read about it, not just to sing about it, not just to talk about it, but to experience it and to know that this is how much God loves you. I love the way John Stott puts it in his commentary. He says, here, he says, we have a picture in these verses of the love of Christ that is broad enough to encompass everybody. It is long enough to last for all eternity. It is deep enough to reach out to the most sinful person on the planet of this earth. And it is high enough to exalt each one of us to bring us to heaven and to God's new creation. What a lovely way of describing what Paul is praying for here. But that's what he's praying for, that you would experience the love that God has for you. To experience it, to taste it, to enjoy it, to receive it, to bask in it. And let's not miss the corporate nature of Paul's prayer. I love the way he puts it in verse 18. He says, this is something that you need to experience together. He says, this experience of God's love for you, he says, I want you to experience this, he says in verse 18, if you look at it, together with all the saints. It's great to experience the love of God for you as an individual. And to know, as we've been saying on Sunday mornings, that there's nothing that you can do to make God love you more or any less. That's a very profound point to reach in your Christian experience. Paul says there's a togetherness in this. This is something that you need to grasp together with all the saints. Because as many of us have discovered, that the love of Christ is appreciated most in our togetherness. As you look around this morning, what a bunch of all sorts we are. Different backgrounds, cultures, races, ages, life's experiences. But we're here this morning primarily because God has reached into our lives and he has rescued us and he's brought us together into the family of God. It comes through the saving work of Jesus Christ. Paul says, that's what I want you to experience. That's what he's praying for. That when you meet together like this, you look around, you look at each other, you think, look at the love that God has for us. Look at the differences. Look at the diversity. Look at the ages, look at the backgrounds, look at the circumstances, and what have we all got in common? Jesus loves you. And out of that love that we receive from Christ comes our love for one another. It's part of the story of our church family. One of the most powerful forms of witness that we have in this local community is the love that we have for one another. That's what Jesus said. He says, by your love for one another, as you realize how much Jesus loves you, will people know that you're my disciples? You see, there's no point in putting this on a notice board outside the front of our church if we cannot love each other in the way that Jesus commands us to do so. That's why this aspect of Paul's prayer is so important. He's praying that you and I would experience the overwhelming love of Jesus Christ. He begins by praying that we will experience the transforming power of God. And the third and the final part of this prayer, he prays, doesn't he, towards the end of this prayer, that you and I would experience the overflowing presence of the Holy Spirit. I pray, he says, at the end of verse 19, that you may be filled to all the measure of the fullness of God. What an incredible prayer. Paul is praying that you and I, as the followers of Jesus, would experience the overflowing presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Filled with all the measure of the fullness of God. Now perhaps you can see why this prayer is so appropriate for Pentecost Sunday. Paul prays in verse 19 that we would be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Paul has in mind a picture of maturity here, a picture of Christians who are growing in their faith. He's running with an eye on the future. He's running with an eye on the finished product to a day when our lives will be completely filled with the Spirit of God. That's our goal. That's our aim. But until that day, we need to pray, as Paul does here, for a regular daily filling of God's Holy Spirit, to keep on praying that God will fill our lives and shape our thinking and influence our thinking. The picture that Paul has here of being filled to the fullness of God is like a vessel. a glass or a jug being filled and the water coming out over the top of it, being filled to overflowing. If you look at chapter 5 and verse 8, you'll see that Paul spells this out very clearly in terms of a command. He does it by way of contrast in chapter 5 and verse 18. He says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. He says, but by contrast, be filled with the Spirit. John Stott, again, is very helpful in his commentary on this. He kind of gets hold of this command to be filled, and he just kind of unpacks it a little bit. I haven't got a lot of time to go into it this morning, but he's saying this is a command to the followers of Jesus Christ. It's not an optional extra. He says, if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. He points out this command is in the plural. It's not written to one special group of people. It's written to all the followers of Jesus. It's not just for the spiritually keen. If you're a follower of Jesus, you can't follow Jesus on your own. Be filled with the Spirit of God. He points out that this is something that happens to us. In other words, you and I cannot fill ourselves with God's Spirit. It's like the day of Pentecost. It comes from heaven to earth. That's the direction of the filling of God's Spirit. And fourthly, he points out that this is a command that is written in the present tense. It says here in the original language, go on being filled with God's Spirit. Not a one-off experience. It needs to be our prayer at the beginning of each day. Lord, as I go into this new day, fill me again with your Holy Spirit. Charles Swindoll, in his great little book entitled Flying Closer to the Flame, uses a lovely analogy of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. I found this really helpful this week. And many of you who have children will understand this. So you see children learning to walk for the very first time, and you watch them taking that very tentative first step, don't you? And they kind of wobble, and more often than not, when they take that first step, they fall over. And then you watch them, don't you? You watch them persevering, and you watch them trying again, and you watch them trying that first step again, and then maybe the first step gets joined to a second step. There's a lot of effort, and there's a lot of concentration, there's a lot of balancing involved. And then you know what? Before long, suddenly they're walking. Before long, walking becomes a natural part of life. Did you think about walking as you came into church this morning? Of course not. It becomes second nature to us. And Charles Swindoll points out in his book, he says, in the same way, he says, we need to learn the experience, to experience the filling of God's Spirit in that way, step by step by step, until it becomes part of our consciousness and part of our way of life. I find that analogy very helpful this morning. Paul prays that we would experience the overflowing presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What a prayer for Pentecost Sunday. A powerful prayer that links us back to the words and the promises of Jesus in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you to be my witnesses. You will be empowered to be my followers. And Paul had the privilege of seeing that promise being fulfilled, as have we as we look back over history. That's why he prays in the way that he does here, because he knows that this is the only way that the Church of Jesus Christ will grow. And through the same Holy Spirit who came in transforming power from heaven to earth at first Pentecost, we too can experience the transforming power of God at work in our lives. It's a powerful prayer, isn't it, as you look at it again on the screen. Praying that we would experience. This isn't knowledge stuff. This is experience stuff. This is real life stuff Paul's praying for. That you will experience the transforming power of God at work in your life as you seek to follow Jesus. That you will experience the overwhelming love that God has for you. That you will experience the overflowing presence and power of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's a prayer that moves us from knowledge to experience. And it's a prayer which reminds us, as Paul does at the end of it, that God is able to deliver on this prayer. That's why I love this prayer so much. Because look how this prayer ends. Ephesians chapter 3. We've been singing it this morning already. As Paul prays for these things in the life of the Ephesian Christians, as we take it this morning to pray for ourselves and for one another and for our generation, Paul says, you know what? God is able to deliver on this promise. He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, In other words, if we pray this prayer, God is able to do even more than you and I are asking for. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Oh man, what a great way to finish this prayer. I want you to notice the way Paul finishes this section. He wants to say to people like you and me this morning, as we look at this prayer, you know what? God is able. He is able to do what he says he can do. He can do more than you can ask or imagine. He is not idle. He is not inactive. He is not disinterested in our prayers. He's active in our lives and active in our world, and he is more than capable of answering our prayers. He's able. I want you to notice as we look at this prayer this morning that God is not limited in any way. He can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. I want you to notice the way Paul finishes this prayer by reminding us that he is already at work in our lives. When you become a follower of Christ, God's Spirit takes up residence in you. He is there. And finally, Paul says, you know what? This actually is all about God getting the glory. And Paul ends this amazing prayer with this powerful reminder that God is more than able to do, more than able to answer the things that Paul is praying for here. So let me ask you as we conclude this morning, in this rather warm building, and maybe it's just me, which part of this prayer do you sense that God is speaking to you about this morning? Transforming power of God. Is there some aspect of your life as a follower of Jesus that you're really struggling with this morning? And you say, Lord, I need your transforming power. By your Spirit, I need you to help me with this. Is there a particular sin or attitude that you've been struggling with maybe for years, and you have tried everything? Saying, pray for the transforming power of God to be at work in your life. Is there a difficult situation at work or at home? You need to pray for the transforming power of God. Maybe you need to pray this morning for that overwhelming love that God has for you. You need to know that again this morning. Because you know, as you look at your life, you've not got it all together. And maybe in your life there aren't many people who've told you that you're loved. Many people are damaged through things that are said and done to them as we grow up in life. Maybe you need to hear this morning just how high and wide and deep and long is the love of Christ for you. Or as Augustine puts it, that God loves each of us as if there was only one of us. Do you need to hear that this morning? Or do you need to pray for an overflowing presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? Maybe you have grown spiritually dry. Maybe you are far from God this morning. Maybe you used to have a very close, dynamic, exciting walk with God and it's gone. You've just grown cold. You've just moved to the margins. You're here this morning because, well, perhaps somebody's brought you, or you just think you need to be here. And God's saying this morning, I want to renew your life this morning. I want to fill you again with my Spirit. I want to set you on fire again for me. I want to bring you back to how things used to be. I want to revive you. I want to refresh you. I want to renew you this morning. You see, over the next few weeks, millions of people across our world will reorientate their lives around this huge competition. And it's going to be fun. For those of us who like football, it's going to be a great competition. It's going to be a great tournament. It's going to contain some great matches. It's there to be enjoyed. So let's not miss that. But then you know what? After a few short weeks, when this trophy is presented, and in about 6 or 8 weeks' time, it will just fade into history. You and I, on the other hand, have been called to reorientate our lives around the teaching and the person of Jesus Christ, not just for a few weeks, but forever. And through the transforming power of God's Holy Spirit, that experience starts to become a reality. We've got a few minutes before the children come back in this morning. We're going to do something just a little different in terms of just reflecting on God's word this morning. I'm going to ask our musicians just to come to the front here for a minute and just play for us in the background one of the songs that we sang earlier in our service. And I want you to look at this slide again that's back on the screen this morning. And as they play, as you hear the music that they're playing, ask God by His Spirit this morning, say, Lord, what are you saying to me? What is the one message that you want to communicate to me through your word this morning? Is it for more of God's transforming power? Is it that you just want to know this morning that you are loved by Christ? Or maybe you're just hungry for more of God. Say, Lord, I just need you to fill me again with your Spirit to overflowing. Or for some of you, God's calling you back this morning because He says, I've got plans and purposes for your life. Let's just think about the challenge of God's Word. If you've got Ephesians 3 open in front of you, maybe just take some moments just to look back to the verses that we've been looking at and just speak to God by His Spirit and say, Lord, show me what it is you want to say to me this morning. And show me just one way in which I can respond to what you're saying to me this morning. Let's just listen as these guys play. Let's just reflect on what we've been thinking about this morning. And then in a few moments, Marcus will lead us into the final acts of praise and worship in our service this morning. Thanks.